you've heard about them. Lawsuits. It's an epidemic. Here's a couple of stories. In Florida, a man serving 12 years in prison. You've got to follow this now. He is serving 12 years in prison for DUI manslaughter, is suing his victim's survivors for his pain, suffering, and medical bills and loss of capacity for enjoying life. It's insanity.
That really doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. But we're here right now with Hillel Presser, and he's a lawyer, and he's with AssetProtectionAttorneys.com. How are you today, Hillel?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
It is nuts out there, isn't it?
It is absolutely crazy. And, you know, in this terrible economy where people are making less and less and losing their jobs, it just seems like lawsuits are becoming the next biggest business.
And, you know, I've got a friend going through this right now where her son did something completely accidentally to another kid. The kid even said it was an accident, and now the parents are suing. And you know what? I think one of the biggest issues is we hear lawyers talk about this all the time in their commercials. Oh, it's the insurance companies. It's the insurance companies. We're not suing insurance companies. We're suing the other people. It's just some of the insurance companies that end up footing the bill, right?
That's correct. You know, you don't sue an insurance company. You know, you sue the individual. So the individual is the one who needs to retain an attorney. The individual is the one who's going to lose sleep at night because of the stress and opportunity cost. Now, they may or may not have an insurance company or policy that covers the claim, but even if they do, a lot of times that person needs to hire an attorney just to watch the insurance company's attorney. And depending on what their limits are, and depending what exclusions they've signed off on, the insurance company may or may not cover part or none of the claim.
So what do we do then ahead of time?
You know, your first thing you need to do is you need to educate yourself. And for any of your listeners, if they go to our website at www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, on the lower left-hand corner, there's a Contact Us. And as long as they mention that they heard about us on your show, we're going to send them a complimentary copy of our newest best-selling book, Financial Self-Defense.
Okay.
So do whatever you can to be an educated client or consumer. Once you've educated yourself, then you want to inventory your wealth. You know, so many people, when they walk into our offices, have so much more than they think they have. You know, assets don't just mean money in the bank or cars or homes. They might be inheritances. They might be phone numbers, domain names, your business, intellectual property. So you really need to inventory your wealth to see what you have. After you've educated yourself and inventoried your wealth, then and only then can you start and begin to protect your assets. That's, you know, from any and all financial threats.
Yeah, because people can come after anything that's sort of left dangling, right? Low-hanging fruit, all that stuff.
Anything of value is an asset, and, you know, people don't understand that. You know, if somebody owes you money, you know, the right for you to collect that loan is an asset. A creditor can take that. Probably the biggest misconception we see is, let's say someone owns a business. A lot of people have S-corps as businesses. Well, they fail to realize. Just like if they owned a share of Facebook stock, you know, if they were sued, the creditor can take the Facebook stock. No difference with their private cell-owned company. You know, if you get in a car accident or have some sort of breach of contract and you're sued, if you own shares in your S-corp, well, the creditor can take those shares and essentially take over your business overnight.
It's incredible. So people that don't think that they have a lot of money, do they still need to protect their assets?
Yeah, I mean, the first comment I'll make is that everybody usually has more than they think they do.
Okay.
The second thing is, it is my belief that the less you have, the more protection you need. And I'll always give the example. You know, we represent anyone who has $20,000 up to billions of dollars with a B. And I always give the example of, take one of our professional athlete or celebrity clients. You know, they might have $25 million. Well, if they're sued and lose a lawsuit for $5 million, you know, they're not going to be happy, but at the end of the day, they still have $20 million left. You know, contrast that with the regular everyday Joe who's worked his entire life. Maybe he saved up a couple $100,000. You know, if he's sued for $1 million, he's going to be wiped out. It's going to be catastrophic, extremely difficult, more than likely impossible to come back from that type of hit.
Right. So now, how many times have you heard someone walk in the door, "I haven't done anything, why are they suing me?"
all the time. You know, whenever I speak, I'll do seminars throughout the country, and then whenever I speak, I'll say, raise your hand if you've been sued. And then I'll tell them, keep your hand up if you think you should have been sued. You know, there's usually one or two people in the room out of a few hundred that keep their hand up. But, you know, unfortunately, we live in a very litigious society. People sue for anything and everything. Like I stated, you know, people are losing their jobs. The people who are lucky enough to keep their jobs are making less and less. You know, why not get a free contingency fee attorney? And if you win, you're probably going to get tax-free funds. I mean, right. The type of lawsuits that I've seen are just incredibly, incredibly frivolous. And, you know, nobody expects to get sued. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to get sued today. So, you know, you're never really prepared for that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, just the amount of lawsuits. I mean, and if you listen to the radio, to television, the amount of personal injury, it's personal injury, it's sort of lame. There's not even any injury occurring. But personal injury attorneys that advertise, it's phenomenal. I mean, I think they're the largest advertiser today of any block of group.
Oh, I've known personal injury attorneys that have spent probably $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 easy a month advertising just in one city alone. And that's why we need to combat it. You know, it's my goal and it's my belief that 5-10 years from now, you know, for every billboard you see, you know, who can I sue, you'll see a billboard for protecting your assets. And that's why I tell every client, listen, educate yourself, because most people don't even know that asset protection attorneys exist. And again, if any of your listeners go to our website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. The bottom lower left-hand corner, there's a contact us. If they mention your show, we're going to send them a free copy of the new best-selling book.
All right, well, we're talking right now to Hillel Presser. He's an attorney with Asset Protection Attorneys. So, what are some steps that someone could take to protect their assets?
You know, there's literally hundreds of tools that we use as asset protection attorneys, and you can't look for a one-size-fits-all plan. Everybody's personal assets are different, and everyone's potential threats and creditors are different. So it might work for me, might not work for you, and vice versa. But some of the main things people can do are, number one, transfer any and all assets to a protective entity. So anything that's in your personal name shouldn't be. You know, put it in an LLC, a limited partnership, a trust, you know, the correct entity. The second thing is, you know, essentially transfer all ownership rights. You know, the key with asset protection is to own nothing but control everything. The third thing is take your exposed assets and put them into what's called exempt assets. Every state has different exemptions. For example, Florida protects your house. Florida protects your annuities. Florida protects your life insurance. So take the money that you have in the bank that's not protected and put them into exempt assets that are protected in your state. And lastly, essentially, you know, equity strip your assets. You know, what's a $100,000 car worth if you owe $95,000? You know, what's a $300,000 condo worth if you owe $290,000? So if you borrowed money and it's got to be legitimate, you know, put enforceable liens and mortgages on there to take the equity away from any and all assets.
A lot to do, and I'm sure that the average person can't do it themselves.
Yeah, and we don't promote by any means do-it-yourself asset
right. Protection.
I tell all my clients, obviously educate yourself so you can be a better client for the attorney, but don't try and do it yourself. I mean, everyone who I see who tries to do it themselves usually ends up in a worse position than they were before they walked in the door.
Right.
And if you've done this and more people do that, there's less for the attorneys that are suing just to make money to get, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm an attorney, but I hate attorneys. And the truth is, people laugh, but I say that proudly. I'm very different than most attorneys. Most attorneys are finding out ways to take your money. We're trying to show people ways to protect them. And, you know, I tell my clients, you know, I can't stop you from being sued. You know, at the end of the day, if somebody wants to sue you, they can sue you. You know, what I can do is act as a safety net and stop them from collecting against you. So we tell all our clients, sell your plan. I mean, sometimes some of our clients will be threatened with lawsuits. I might tell them to take their entire plan, put it in a FedEx, and send it to the lawyer. Show them that even if they beat you in a case, they can't collect against you. You know, lawyers are lazy. They want to do as little as possible and make as much as possible. So if you can show them that you're uncollectible and you're not a good candidate for a lawsuit, half the time they won't even sue you. If they do sue you, and it's a frivolous claim, I tell my clients not to pay. If it's a legitimate claim, you know, if they can't collect against you and you can settle the case for 5, 10, 15 cents on the dollar, well, you know, we feel like we've done our job correctly.
All righty. Well, we're here right now with Hillel Presser. We're going to give you some more ideas and ways to protect your assets right here on Senior Voice America, 1250 Winds, WHNZ. All righty, we're here with my new favorite attorney. His name's Hillel Presser, and he will protect you from the sharks out there. There's, you know, or he's going to give us advice on how to protect us from the sharks out there. A lot of lawsuits, a lot of ridiculous lawsuits, and we're talking about asset protections. So, Hillel, are there assets that don't need protection specifically?
Yeah, there definitely are. You need to find out what exemptions you have in your state, because every single state's different. For example, if you're a Florida resident, your primary house is protected by creditors. Therefore, you don't need asset protection for your primary house. In Florida, your life insurance cash value is protected. Your annuities are protected. So depending on what state you live in, there will be different exemptions that are protected. So you need to seek out advice from a qualified attorney, you know, and certainly find out what the exemptions are in your state, and those are the assets that you would not need to do anything to protect.
Now there's domestic and international asset protection, right?
Correct.
And what are the differences between those?
You know, domestic asset protection essentially means any asset protection inside of the United States. So you might be referring to exemption laws, LLCs, trusts, limited partnerships, things of that nature. International asset protection means anything outside of the United States. It might be foreign LLCs, IBCs, international asset protection trusts, and things of the sort. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing international asset protection, as long as you do it correctly. You know, you can't go outside of the United States and think you're going to save taxes. It's not going to happen. You know, you can go outside of the United States for protection. But if you're going to be utilizing international asset protection, make sure that you're filling out the proper forms with the IRS, the Treasury Department, etc., because you never want to get yourself in trouble for not reporting.
Okay. And right. Yeah, that's been a big thing lately. People that have put a ton of money outside the U.S. and all of a sudden, you know, the IRS is coming and knocking on everyone's door.
Yeah, and you know, people think that, you know, you're just not allowed to do it, and that's totally false, hence why you always have to educate people. There's nothing wrong with having money outside of the United States. I mean, a lot of people think there's a lot of great investments out there, but there's something very wrong with doing it and not reporting it to the government. So always make sure you're staying above the line and doing everything legally and ethically.
So if someone had a bank account, a Swiss bank account or a Bahamian bank account, and they were doing everything legal, could that be tied up in a lawsuit? Can that, you know, lawyer go after that money as well?
Well, it's going to depend on how that international bank account is titled. So, for example, let's say the international bank account is merely titled to the client, John Smith. Well, a judge can always order John Smith to bring the money back, otherwise face contempt of court. So, you know, it has to be structured properly. You know, for example, you might want to set up an international asset protection trust that's outside of U.S. jurisdiction, and maybe the trust has a bank account. So the answer is, if you do it properly, you know, you can make sure it's protected, but again, you got to make sure you do things correctly.
Now, you know, you hear the term umbrella insurance. I'm spending this much money, I've got $1 million of coverage. People probably think they don't need asset protection for that, do they?
They certainly do. I mean, first of all, I'm a big promoter of insurance, and I don't sell insurance. I tell my clients, buy as much insurance as you can because it's cheap and it helps you sleep at night. I mean, God, you can get $2-3 million umbrella policy probably for $600-700 a year. With that being said, I tell them, don't solely rely on it. You need different layers. You need different firewalls. It's the belt and suspenders approach. Again, buy as much as you can because it's cheap and it helps you sleep at night, but don't solely rely on it. You know, people fail to understand, you know, at the end of the day, the insurance company is in a business. You know, they are there to be profitable and to make money. It's their goal not to pay your claims. So again, buy as much as you can, but certainly don't rely on it. Put together an enforceable asset protection plan.
So what is the number one piece of advice you can give the general public?
You know, really educate yourself. You know, even if you don't take the steps to protect yourself right away, at least know that the steps are out there. And again, you know, asset protection is a very special niche. You know, there's literally thousands and thousands of personal injury attorneys in every city. There might be a dozen or so asset protection attorneys, if that. So whatever a client can do to educate themselves, that is the most important thing. And again, if any of your listeners go go to our website at www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. If they go to the bottom lower left-hand corner of the site, the Contact Us form, and fill it out, as long as they tell us they heard about us on your show, I'm going to send them a free copy of our newest best-selling book, Financial Self-Defense.
That's great. I mean, it sounds like you're getting a lot of great information out there. What's the biggest mistake someone makes, let's say the first, when that process server shows up at their door?
You know, I think people get nervous and, you know, they react too quickly, you know, instead of kind of sitting back, taking a deep breath and doing things properly. And certainly you always want to be proactive, you know, not to get off subject, but, you know, I always tell my clients, you know, you buy insurance when you don't need it. You know, you don't buy car insurance after an accident. You don't buy health insurance when you get sick. And your estate certainly doesn't buy life insurance after you pass away. So, you know, don't think you can buy asset protection after the event. You know, make sure you're proactive. You know, take a small investment, protect yourself, do it right the first time, and you'll be protected forever. But, you know, do it when you don't need it, because it's kind of like a loan. You know, when you don't need a loan, the bank is happy to give you a line of credit. But when you need it, they're definitely not giving you the funds.
Well, it's like the people that try to sign up for homeowner's insurance or increase their homeowner's policy when the hurricane warnings go up. Sorry, it's too late.
You got it. And again, you know, asset protection doesn't have to be costly. I mean, there's so many free things you can do. There's so many very low-cost things you can do that'll just give you great deals of immense protection. So, you know, even if you pay an attorney for a consultation, pay them $500, something like that, go see them and see what you can do, because I think it'll be a lot less expensive than everybody thinks. You know, there's so many people out there, they pay financial advisors, you know, 1 or 2% every single year, whether they lose money or make money. Why not take a fraction of that 1%, you know, protect yourself once and make sure you're buttoned up forever?
So let me ask you this, Hillel. Is there a hope for tort reform throughout our country?
Oh, man, I stay out of the politics. You never know these days. I'm of the opinion that they'll always be suing and there'll always be a way to collect.
It's insanity, though. I mean, I know you gave us another example here, which I really thought was interesting. In Illinois last year, siblings aged 20 and 23 sought more than $50,000 in damages from their mom for bad mothering, including setting, and these included, I think I remember hearing about this,
yep,
setting a curfew for when they were teens, haggling over clothing prices, and failing to send college care packages.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, we make it too easy to sue. I mean, anybody can sue by posting a couple $100 to file the lawsuit, and most people don't even have to do that. They just go to a lawyer, they'll take the case for free, pay to file it, and if they win, they get a percentage. You know, we need to make people post bonds where if they don't win, you know, they have to pay the other side's attorneys. You know, it's way too easy to sue in the United States, and, you know, you mentioned that lawsuit. I always like to Google at the end of the year what are the craziest lawsuits of the year, and one that always sticks out in my mind in 2011, I think you'll get a kick out of it. There was a guy who robbed a house and then took a couple people hostage. He was being chased by the police. Okay, when he was caught, he sued the people that he kidnapped under the theory that they breached their oral contract. He said that when they were in the car, they promised they'd help him escape.
What, you know, and how unthinking those people were, you know what I mean? You know, they couldn't stay honest, and you know what? It's pure insanity. What's despicable, though, is the attorneys that take those cases.
You know what? And their belief is, listen, it might be a BS lawsuit. It might be a frivolous lawsuit, but somebody's going to pay you something to go away. Maybe they'll give you $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 nuisance cost, because it's going to cost them $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to protect it. You know, I always tell my clients, I mean, even if you win a lawsuit, you're a loser. You know, what if you shake somebody's hand and then they sue you and say, you know, you damaged one of the nerves in my fingers. Well,
right.
You know what? It might be a totally BS frivolous lawsuit, but it's still going to cost you $30,000 to defend.
It's amazing. Well, check them out. It's Asset Protection Attorneys. This was Hillel Presser. Hillel, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Go to their website, Asset Protection Attorneys. Mention Senior Voice, and you'll get a free book. All right. You're listening to Senior Voice America.